Body image is the mental representation we create of what we think we look like. It may or may not bear a close relation to how others actually see us. Here are things you should know about female body image issues. Real Beauty Sketches explores the gap between how others perceive us and how we perceive ourselves. The Dove campaign for Real Beauty hired a criminal sketch artist to draw women as they describe themselves and as others see them. The social experiment revealed that women's perceptions of themselves were very different than how others view them. The results are surprising. This is Melinda before she described about herself, her facial image, and this her friend described about her face. We can tell this is very different, like two persons. Well, I wonder how God sees us and what it would look like if he drew a picture for us from his perspective. Would it be very different? We know God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God sees at the heart. Today, I want to talk about a true confident woman. I believe it is God's will for women to have confidence in him. Talking about confidence, this word, what comes to your mind first? What do you think about confidence is? Just give me some word. The word? God's word? Bible? Okay. What else?
Self-assured.
Okay, self-assured. Yes. Trust, that's a big one. Security, exactly. Yes. So we have those words come to our mind, like a trust, a dependence, faithful, secure, someone mentioned about that, and the reliance, full assurance, hope, boldness, courage, and full of conviction. Let's see. This word has been used in the scripture for two separate meanings. Let's see what are they. It says, one is a state of certainty about something to the extent of placing reliance on trust. Second, assurance about an outcome. Where all confidence can be found in the modern day. Is it found in our government? Is it found in our culture and the traditions? Is it found in the religions? And is it found in your business and the success? Your possession or position? Or is it found in yourself? Your relationships? No. Let me back up. Where does your confidence come from? What's the source of your confidence? Does your confidence build on the blessing itself or on the giver, the source of all the blessings? Today, I'd like to share a couple important views about what is the true confidence for women. The first thing I like to talk is that a true confident woman has the right value system about herself through faith in Jesus Christ. We know the first woman in the world whose name is Eve. Genesis 1, 26 to 28 tells us when God created Adam and Eve, they were made in the image and the likeness of God. God's plan for them was to subdue and rule over all the earth and every living thing that moves on the earth. To be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Men were made perfect in God's eyes and perfect in each other's eyes. Adam and Eve could live their perfect life as happy as they can in the garden which was blessed by God. Here's the issue. When the serpent, which was the devil, came and enticed Eve to eat the fruit of the forbidden tree, Genesis 3, 5, the serpent said to the woman, "For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God." Knowing good and evil, wait a minute. Weren't Adam and Eve already made like God? Yes, we heard it from the first part. And wasn't God's provision your love for them in the garden? Shouldn't they listen to the commandment of their Creator and His voice alone, other than the serpent? Unfortunately, Eve chose to believe and act on the devil's lie. She took from his fruit and ate, in Genesis 3:6. Did Eve eat the fruit because she lacked food, wisdom, or anything in the garden? No. What was wrong by eating it? According to chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "It looked delightful, good for food, desirable to be wise. It was must be good to me." Eve probably thought so. She didn't follow through God's commandment. Instead, her choice violated God's word and brought an irreversible mistake to her generations, which was the consequence of her sin, death. We can see it from Genesis 2:17. Can you imagine how painful it was for her to look back her life? I mean, except the first part was perfect, wonderful. What a great loss, only by that one choice. It reminds me that how many bad or wrong choices you and I have made in our lives by not following God's word. In 1 Timothy 2:14 it says, "The woman was deceived, fell into sin." Adam and Eve lost their intimate relationship with God and failed to be God's image bearer. The confidence they had before, like security and their trust, the courage from the presence of God, was completely gone because they fell into sin. They lost their identity and security in God. They realized that they lost the paradise that day. Fears and shame crept up and grasped them. Immediately, they realized that they were naked and guilty and unacceptable. They were afraid from the presence of the Holy God. They acted irresponsibly for the sin they had committed through blaming God and each other. They were drifting farther away from God. And such fear and guilt, they sewed fig leaves together to cover their nakedness and hid themselves among trees. They lived the rest of their lives lesser than what God had made them to be. It's sad, isn't it? Well, this morning, many of you have heard my salvation testimony, and as I spoke here before about my salvation, you know, experience in China. And for more than 20 years, in my life, I didn't know about God and all the wonderful blessings he has for my life before I was saved. And I was lost from God and lived in a very different world. What I'm missing now when I look back. Since Adam and Eve's sin led the whole human race to fall short in God's glory, we lost our confidence in God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin keeps us away from finding true confidence in God. Instead, we are chasing after the false and the counterfeit confidence in ourselves, others, and this world. As you can see, this morning I'd like to address some of the issues which I call them the roadblocks, and then from the biblical view, I'll explain God's solution for us to restore our confidence in Him. Then this afternoon, in the second section, I'll share some personal testimonies and honors also to build and strengthen your confidence, hopefully. Okay, so there are two roadblocks have kept women from having confidence in God. Roadblock number one, there are so many women today looking for confidence in their body image. The statistics tell us by age six, girls start to express concerns about their own weight and the shape. 40 to 60% of elementary school girls age 6 to 12 are concerned about their weight and about becoming too fat. These concerns endure through life. Only 4% of women globally consider themselves beautiful. A global survey found that two-thirds of women strongly agree that the media and advertising set an unrealistic standard of beauty that most women can't ever achieve. A study published in the Journal of Eating Disorders found that while fat talk tended to decrease with age, old talk often came in to replace it, and that both were reported by women who appeared to have a negative body image. Is true confidence contingent upon outward looks? Perfect body or a designer wardrobe? The deception that a physical beauty, physical appearance, and attractiveness is to be esteemed above beauty of the heart, spirit, and the life. Talk about this. When you go on the street, as you can see, beauty salon, hair salon, their salon, facial shop, shopping mall, and the jewelry store, and fitness center, and they are everywhere. And people love to invest their money and their time on those things which make them look good, feel good. If we let society determine our value, we always lose when we evaluate ourselves according to someone else's ideas and standards. It is a losing battle. We lost our confidence. We have let someone else, so many other things matters to overtake us but totally forget and ignore God's value is the only important thing. The lie tells us that we lack of something other than God. That something sounds good, looks good, feels good, may satisfy us just in a moment. But it leaves women feeling unattractive, ashamed, embarrassed, rejected, inadequate, and hopelessly flawed after all. I have seen so many women who have exhausted their lives just to be like somebody else, to be attractive, to gain some attention, to get that something which is not in them. Some of them hold on to this idea even for their entire life. This idea of something could mean anything in this world other than Jesus Christ himself. One of my favorite professors in Dallas Seminary, John Hanla, who taught me in historical theology, says, "Idolatry is not caring about pagan images that we offer our prayers to and trust in for commercial and personal prosperity. It is much more subtle today than that. Idolatry is seeking security and happiness in other than the God of the Bible." What do we believe ultimately determines how we live? When we talk, when we take our eyes off from God and focus on ourselves, we change the way how we perceive and the whole perspective of ourselves. As we saw Melinda's pictures earlier, it shifts from God's view to our point of view. For example, you know, sometimes we would just say, you know, I'm just an average person. I never feel important. Nothing special in me. Or poor me. Nobody loves me or cares for me. I'm ugly. I feel worthless. We all do that from time to time, don't we? Proverbs 31:30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." I believe some of you have a deep understanding of this Bible verse. In 1 Peter 3:3-4 says, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." In other words, it is not the outside looks defines or determines who you are. Your value is not measured by your surface. Remember the video you watched earlier? To invest in your inner beauty and cultivate the character of God in you is much more worth and valuable in God's eyes than other stuff. A true confident woman knows who she really is in Christ, and her true identity stands out for her. We as Christian women should seek to reflect the life of Christ. By the grace of God, which is the true beauty God values, it is shining from the inside out. That's the confidence we should be looking for today. Nancy Lynn DeMoss, I think many of you know her, dearly lady. And in her book, Lies Women Believe, she wrote, "As I get older, I want to focus on those things that God says matter most. Things like letting His Spirit cultivate in me a gracious, wise, kind, loving heart. The fact is, if we devote our time and energy to staying fit, trim, glamorous, and useful looking, we may achieve those objectives for a while. But the day will come when we will regret having neglected to cultivate that inner beauty, character, and radiance that are pleasing to God and last forever. Let's see the second roadblock. Women today are developing their confidence according to their flesh. Have you heard women say this all the time? Like, if I can work harder, if I can earn a degree and have a good job, if I had a better childhood, if I was not born in this way, if I can be prettier and younger, and if I have a good health, and or if my marriage was different, if this, if that. Which I understand. Women try to build up their self-confidence. Sometimes we like to imagine somehow we can find happiness and confidence through our hard work, self-efforts, raise up good children to be a proud mother, experience success, good family and marriage life, and certain titles, etc. Those are all good things, but are they enough? This second roadblock, I call it the flesh. In the Bible, it literally means our bodies. Figuratively, it refers to human sinful nature. It sounds a little bit overlap with the roadblock one, but there are differences. In Philippians 3, when the Apostle Paul talks about no confidence in the flesh, he says, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Here Paul opened himself up and started arguing that his heritage in his birth and the privileged Jewish background had once made him an outstanding person. He was a lawkeeper and zealous for Judaism. His self-confidence and righteousness were built by pursuing and following after the Mosaic law to the point of persecuting Christians to death. Apparently, his work before didn't make himself become acceptable to God, nor his heritage from his family. It goes on in verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but the rubbish so that I may gain Christ. What had happened to Paul here caused his value system completely changed. He says, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, anything else is just like a filthy rag, become useless. Comparing Christ, the perfect one, anything else is just eclipsed, is flawed and faded and wasted in Paul's eyes. Use his own word as rubbish, that's NIV version, or dumb, that's NET translation. Wow. It sounds like except the beauty of Christ, nothing in the world can ever be more valuable, more attractive to Paul. He realized that absolutely nothing apart from Jesus Christ's work on the cross was of any value in his gaining God's acceptance. Jesus was the treasure and the central to him. He found life in the resurrected Jesus. I love what he said at the end of verse 8. So that I may gain what? Gain approval? Gain favor? Gain reward? Gain love? No. He said, I may gain Christ. Paul knew that he had a whole new identity in Christ after his conversion. His passion, his hope, his vision, his life purpose, his mission, even his name were all different than before he came to Christ. It tells us that no matter what background you and I had before, good or bad, it doesn't count or carry to our new position in Christ once we put our faith in him. Christ is your life and my life, in your life or my life, is all that matters. As you heard a little bit about my background before, I grew up in a dysfunctional home. And I was raised in a communist and atheistic family. My dad was a rigid and a short-tempered man. And I was severely beaten and cursed by him in my childhood. Not because I was a bad girl. My mother once was almost killed by him. And with many fears and horrors, I survived from that home. Soon after I finished college, I left home 1,000 miles away with unhealed wounds, hurts, lots of hurt. I thought I would never go back that home again. I worked hard and tried to grasp anything I can from this world to numb my pain and to feel the emptiness of my heart. Until the day God found me. A lady met me on the street. She took me to her church. I heard the gospel first time in my life. And the very first time, I learned that God loves me. And my life matters to him. And I have a heavenly Father. That day, I believed in Jesus and accepted him as my Savior and my Lord. Since then, my life, my whole world had a dramatic and entire change. By God's grace, with his help and much prayer, I choose to forgive my earthly father. My relationship with him gradually changed. I have been praying for him and my parents' salvation every day. Last year, my husband and I, we flew back to China and spent 3 weeks with them. I did 12 times Bible study with them. And now, we continue praying for them, and hopefully, one day they will receive Christ into their lives. Now let's go back to our story from the beginning in the garden. Here's the good news for you. If you are the first time hearing this, God indeed provided Adam and Eve's needs for clothes after the fall. In Genesis 3:21 says, the Lord God made the garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. It was a foreshadow implying that Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, was prepared for the sacrifice of our sin. For all of us, he became the curse of our sin and was punished by God through the cross. Because his death and the resurrection through our faith in him, we become righteous in God's eyes. In other words, we become beautiful, clean, and acceptable to God again because the sacrifice of Jesus. Nothing else can make us look good, feel right in God's eyes except through Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14 says, I should have grabbed this earlier. Here we can see from God's character, God is love, God is faithful, God is righteous, God is holy. And what he did to us, and he sent Jesus, came down to the earth, became flesh. And he was crucified on a cross because of our sin. And 3 days later, Jesus resurrected, and he was ascended in heaven now. And through him, by our faith, it results in our salvation. And it's in those areas he redeemed us, he justified us. And now we're in the process of sanctification. And one day when Jesus comes back, we will be glorified. So in the Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What we really need is the blood of Jesus. Of course, in this picture, Jesus does not look like that. That's just a symbol, okay? And we really need is the blood of Jesus to cover our nakedness and cleanse our conscience by washing the shame and the guilt away. Clothe us with his righteousness, and this is the solution and the provision which God has offered for us to restore our relationship with him. Your sin and my sin have been forgiven by God through the blood of Jesus when we put our faith in him. You and I, our confidence, will not, listen to this, will not be found in our husband. Sorry, I might disappoint you. And, or other men, or even ourselves. But in Christ first. Let's stop here, and I want to pray for us. Lord, I pray, after today, our time together, some of the ladies will come to know you. For some of them, maybe it's a time to change a new pair of lenses from you so that they can gain a better view about themselves. I pray for all of you that you will have a better sense of confidence when you walk out from here today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. I will see you this afternoon. Thank you.